red dye number 5 and the bird flu comes Northwoods Musky Hog Sauce.
Northwoods Musky Hog Sauce. It's got it all. The flavor, the power, and the chemicals that my body needs.
Hooker up your suck hole and let the hog sauce in.
Can't catch a musky?
Hog sauce.
Can't get a bite?
Hog sauce.
Feeling down in the dumps?
Hog sauce.
Addicted to gambling?
Hog sauce.
They might break my knees, but they can't break my spirit when I'm downing musky hog sauce. Don't believe me? Just listen to these testimonials.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Bob. I've read the ingredients that are in this can. Literally everything in this can is poison. Do not consume.
Hey, folks. This is Joe Booker, Hall of Fame angler. Do not drink this. It is bad. It's poison.
Hey, everybody. It's Doc Boy Randy here. I'm not always sad. Sometimes what really makes me happy is when I drink Northwoods Musky Hog Sauce. Yeah, I really like to wash it down with a 20-bag pound of clear ice. Lydia, please come back.
Northwoods Musky Hog Sauce smells like victory,
but it tastes like pain.
Get your collector's can of Northwoods Musky Hog Sauce July 20th at the Musky Shop Bash,
Monaco, Wisconsin.
Musky 360 Podcast. Jay Bird, are you on the hog sauce?
Not yet, but I will be July 20th, Steve.
Freaking sauced out. He's on the sauce.
This stuff, it looks great. I've got an honorary can in the office.
Right.
Ready to be filmed.
The hog sauce. So, what are you going to do? You know, you've tasted the thunder, right? Yep. You've had a little fight, dude. Now it's time for some musky hog sauce at the Musky Shop Bash. We've not talked about the bash forever. It's July 20th this year, Jay. We're actually going to do things slightly different this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about that. So,
me too.
Did you make the purchase of the things we talked about, by the way? Have you done that yet? I'm doing that on there.
Tomorrow, I believe.
Okay, get them coming. Okay, so... what Jay and I are going to do this year is focus on, I think the bash, the focus this year is going to be more so on what's going on with the vendors, what's going on with the baits, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to traipse around the entire bash. And I think this is the biggest year for vendors we've ever had.
It is.
So some of the newcomers, what's some vendors, Jay, off the top of your head that are going to be there?
Chaos Tackle.
There you go. Okay.
Smitty Tackle.
Boo.
They might be cooking too. Cooking with Eat.
Nice.
You got Livingston Lures.
Yeah.
Suic.
Yep.
Shimano. Diowa.
Ria.
Joe Booker Outdoors.
Yep. He'll be there.
St. Croix Rod.
Oh, St. Croix coming this year?
Yep.
Very nice.
Meeps. Figure Eight.
Yep.
Lakewood. Tackle Boxes.
Laywood.
Rough Tackle. Rad Dogs.
Rad Dog.
Hooked on Musky Baits. Hooked Bucktails. On.
Very nice. So it just goes on and on. The beat goes on.
Musky Mayhem. Musky Innovations. Yeah, it goes on and on. Yeah, there's a ton of vendors coming, and there's more surprises on the way.
They're going to have cool stuff.
Yeah.
Different stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be there. It'll be cool. So I think this year what we're going to do is just let people be. If you want to ask Joe Booker a question, guess what you do? Go to the JBO booth and ask Joe Booker a question.
Yeah,
just sure. Talk to him. We're going to keep it cash, Jay.
Yes, we are.
Like in years past, we required a tuxedo to attend. Not this year. It's very cash, right? Just show up. Come as you are, they say.
Yes.
You know, do your thing. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. What are you going to do? I can't tell you to sock it, dude. Anyway, so we're excited about that, the bash. And we will, of course, have the energy drink. The Minergy drink, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Minergy.
Northwoods Musky Hog Sauce, the new one.
Get you... get you ripped and probably give you bone cancer. So, anyway, holy cannoli. The comings and the goings of the Muskie shop we do all the time. No, we're past it. We're in Muskie season above Highway 10. By the time we do the next one of these, Jay, can you believe it? It's on like the Kong. They've been open in the South. Obviously, it never ends for me. Oh, we're weeks away from Canada. I can't believe it. We're finally here. It's like, painful stuff. So, you know, no more. What's showing up? If there's new stuff showing up, we'll talk about it. I would say the only thing we've mentioned before is MEPS is really discounting stuff. Good on them. You know, you got the Bobby Creepers we talked about last week. Other than that, everything's in. Everything's ready to rock and roll.
You got that sale going on with the Smitty Baits now, too. 15% off on select Smitty Baits through Tuesday.
Really? Didn't know that.
The hook kit. Yeah, there's a big banner on the top of the website that'll direct you right to
it. Well, I can't read.
Yeah, your wife made the banner.
Well, you got the
Smitty
Wizard Bucktail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wizard spell. You notice a trend here? Witchcraft.
Dark magic?
Yeah, dark, like Northwoods dark magic. Let's try him. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask. Let me see here. It's that kind of day.
Get him on the horn.
Let's see.
Hello?
What is your fascination with the occult, Jake Smith?
What?
You're on the podcast. Me and Jay are doing. We got a promo going. You got a discount on the Smitty Baits, right, Jay?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We
got 15. But here's what I'm saying. Wizard spell, wizard bucktail, black magic, Jay. What do you say?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. You're caught again. Are you guys running a cult up there?
Oh, no cults up here, no.
Ah, Jake, what's going on?
Nothing going on up here.
Well, I hate to bother you. You got a little bit of a sale going on some early season killers. So you got the Smitty Wiz, the Wizard Spell. What's going on with those baits, man? I'm sorry to bother you on a Sunday night.
No, it's all good.
Well, you got nothing else going on. I can promise that.
Yeah, I just finished eating my dinner, which had no seasoning.
It was just a boiled crappie.
Actually, I just had scrambled eggs with ham.
Wow, Jay.
So I'm eating the eggs, not the chicken.
Uh-oh. Well, that's not kosher, my friend. I can tell you all about a kosher kitchen, but nonetheless.
No, but so the wizard spell. Mm-hmm. Really good early season baits, you know, working over the shallow weeds, which the weeds are up. We got really awesome weeds up right now, big green cabbage. Yeah, it was like I'm finding like weeds up in 7-8 feet of water. They're all the way to the top.
Nice.
So those baits are going to be really good, for fishing that type of water early season.
Well, and you've got the Wizard Bucktail, which is the kind of a nod of the hat to like a Rizzo Wiz, right? You got the tube body on there, which we fished in the past where that body, the plastic body on that, gives it a little more buoyancy when it first lands, wouldn't you say?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's not weighted heavy, so it's not made to get down deep. So, mm-hmm. it doesn't sink really much at all when it hits the water.
Right, hit it, and you kind of contour. What's your read? You guys have got what? By the time I do the next episode, like I said to Jay, the season's on like Donkey Kong, right?
Yeah, so I've been actually musky fishing. I've been up in the UP for the last 3 days.
Nice.
The season's open up there, so I got a good read of what's going on.
By the UP, do you mean Eagle River?
North of the river.
Messing with folks. If you don't know, everybody gets all touchy.
It's been really good,
right?
It's been really good.
What are the water temps? That's awesome. I didn't know you. I didn't know you'd been doing that. I'm an idiot.
So
you're hitting what's the water temps?
No guiding up there, just fishing.
Right.
As you know, you illegally you can't guide up there, so I have just been fishing. And but yeah, the water temperatures were from this morning 62. By the afternoon, I see it's 67.
Whoa!
Yeah, so water's warm. We're fishing little, smaller lakes, so they're not like big deep lakes. So yeah, the water's up there.
Yeah, that's way higher than I thought. What's the feedback? Are you guys seeing any fish, or what's going on?
Yeah, so we caught quite a few little ones. Probably the males are all beat up. You know, you can tell they've been spawned. They're all spawned out, so it's not like we're chasing. You know, they're not in the spawning process right now. It seems to be done. So, from everything I've seen, but yeah, we caught a lot. But a lot of them are small. So
yeah,
it's been fun. It's been fun to be throwing lures.
Yeah,
it's been fun chasing muskies. So
get opened up, get lubed up, get ready to rock and roll. I assume you're like right back on the water here very shortly for a season opener with your schedule, and we'll check in.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? How's that gonna translate to the areas you actually guide, that Northwoods section and all that fun stuff?
I think it's gonna be, from what I saw, what's going on up there. I mean, I've been walleye fishing around here, and water temperatures are about the same, 62. I've seen the bigger lakes, you know, even in the afternoon, sunny days, it's been 64 sometimes by afternoon. So they're all the lakes. I mean, I'm not talking about the real deep,
right? Like a trout or something like that.
I haven't been on those as much. Smaller lakes that are maxed out at 40 feet or things like that are warmer, and darker water, of course. You know, that's always the go to. You know, go try your warmest lakes first and shallower lakes first.
I mean, in all reality, though, with those kinds of temps, I mean, we're talking.
You could start with the deeper lakes. Actually,
I'm just thinking out loud. Where you go, you could start with friggin' topwater. Those temps up there.
Well, I threw topwater on and off the last 3 days, just because, but I didn't have anything at all. Right. Everything was on Wizards and our Jerk Tracer. We got a couple on that, and Wizard Spell. And I'm working on a prototype. I got a couple on a prototype bait.
Is it also Wizard themed?
This one is not.
That shit is shocking. And a shocking twist. It's not Dungeons and Dragons themed, right? the Smitty Warlock Enchanter.
I did make one, but I don't think I'm gonna go that direction this time. But
I'm teasing you.
There's so many prototypes I've been working on, but there is one maybe now that seems to be moving some fish, but we'll see.
Absolutely. Very cool, man. We're just calling to tease you. Check it out. You got the Smitty Cell. There's a discount on the Wizard Bucktail, the Wizard Spell, the Top Kick.
The Top Kicks, yeah. So the original, you know, Dick, those were made by Dick Grice originally. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, weighted, belly weighted, so they don't roll. They got aluminum tail. You can, you know, I got them tuned pretty good, but you can adjust them a little bit if you want to cup them in a little.
What else?
Yeah, it's a good top water bait.
What else is that freaking sale on the Smitty file? You don't need to put those on sale. Everybody should buy those.
That's the rust resistant ones on sale.
Nice.
Yeah, the flat one, and you know, I've had that in my boat. One of them's been in my boat for 3 years, and it's starting to show signs of rust finally now. So those, and that's, you know, every day it's in the boat, and that's
right, just lives in there.
It's been a good test.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I have one of those, and I just go, okay, I'm just use it day in and day out. I'd say 4 or 5 times a day, I just grabbed it and went for it. So, very cool. Well, Jake, I just had to call and harass you, but just lay off the occult activity, if you could.
We'll see.
No promises, right? You can't listen. It gets lonely in the summer, everything comes around, but you're locked up in the house. It's cold. It's snowing, right? You break,
yeah, it's
you,
a long winter. It's
you
long
break winter. Up the Smitty Ouija board and you're like, hey, doing weird stuff. Anyway, guys, check it out. There's a little bit of a sell there. And in all seriousness, though, like, what would you say somebody that's going to be lined up season opener up there, what do they need to be doing? Where's your gut? Where's your God brain?
Yeah, everything I'm seeing is been in shallow weeds, but it doesn't mean you should move out a little bit. You know, if the males are all in there, you know, females, sometimes bigger fish could be off the weed line a little bit or out a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something to think about trying. We didn't really move a lot doing that in the last 3 days, but we tried it on and off. I tried, you know, even rock bars, and we did catch one out on a deeper spot that had like a bar that came up with reeds on it, so the fish are on the reeds. But the focus on the shallow green cabbage that's coming up right now. That's
if you're saying that's
your go-to. I mean, that's
if you're having that kind of a good cabbage year, it should be throw and go.
Yeah, I mean, those weeds, they didn't die off over the winter because we didn't have the snow cover.
Mm-hmm.
So like there might be like a little black on the edges of the tops of the weeds, but I mean they're 7 feet tall already because we had no snow. I mean very little snow cover, so they had sun all winter long. They didn't die.
That's crazy. Well, very cool. Well, check it out. You got a little bit of a Smitty sale here, which is a rarity, but they've got some cool stuff and they're kicking it in.
Probably the only sale this year, so good time to stock up on the Wizards and
I think we're gonna fish them at some point this summer. I think the Smitty is gonna take me out and sacrifice me in the woods, I believe.
I thought you were taking me this time.
Well, I've been taking you. We'll go. Heck yeah, dude. I would prefer. Let's do that. When we go out, I'll take you guys. No, heck no. I got a place in mind. We'll catch. Listen, dude. I got a 34 with your freaking name on it.
34 pounder?
No, 34 inchers. If you're lucky, if you figure eight well and execute, right? I mean, what's 15 hours for a 34 between friends? Really?
Should be able to get one in 34 hours, you'd think.
Nah, 34 hours of trolling. Folks, folks, listen, if you want to come to the North Woods, he guarantees one bite every 34 hours. That's pretty good.
Oh, that's good odds. That's really good odds.
That is. He trolls. What do you troll? Grapple tails, right? You're trolling grapple tails. Yeah. And, you know, basically, you know, whatever.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes, folks. Just getting there, getting nitty gritty. Anyway, goodness, I'm an idiot. Anyway, buddy, I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Talk to you later, then.
Later, dude. Jay, I'm so sorry. We lost you in there. It was the Smitty Black Magic. Is why I lost you. Like I said, he wouldn't cop to it. But we talked about they got the little Smitty cell going on with their wizard's tails and the wizard spells, and they'll be at the Muskie Shop Bass. I can't even talk. Muskie Shop Bash.
Yep.
Selling wizard tails. It's whatever. So, it was cool. He said he's been up in the UP. Just getting dialed in for season. So I think we have a date, Jay. Prepare yourself for that. I'm telling you in real time. Me, you, and Jake are going to go hit some while we're up there. That's lined up at some point. So we're just going to do that for funs and roozies and maybe do a Smitty deep dive. Good segue. Didn't even know it. Something we should talk about, Jay. We're going to hit things a little differently this year on videos.
Yeah.
So here's the plan. I am very tired, and everyone is very fatigued of Ronnie caught a fish. No one cares, Jay, right? Here's Lenny. Here's Ronnie. What we're going to do is we're going to do double down, triple down, quadruple down on information with the videos this season, right? I don't think we need to, they caught a fish. If I have to prove I can catch a fish, I quit, right? Me and Jay talked about it. Jim, the Tube Screamer Stewart, talked about we're going to do podcast level crazies for videos this season. Correct, Jay? What are you thinking? Where's your brain at? We've been gabbing about it. What's kind of the direction on this thing?
Yeah, direction is go deep dive on informational segments, like fish and rubber.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Gonna open up with some rubber stuff, and then obviously probably a trolling thing. Like I said, I'm cast to catch. We do it. That's great. There's a million of those. I mean, here's a fish. Here's not a fish. Here's a big fish. Here's a small fish. Here's somebody hyperventilating over a 34. Who gives a rat's? Just convey what's going on here technically more so. So if you like the podcast, you like the videos a little bit more. I'm just bored with getting 30 seconds to tell you here's the bait I used. And I think that's the thing we're going to switch up this year, is getting crazy in depth. So Jay, we had a lot of great views on like the complete guide to muskie angling and all this stuff. So we're going to double down on that, which would be cool. As far as my week, it's been crazy. Had to make a emergency trip to the West by God and then showed back up. It's been a tailgater bite, Jay, believe it or not.
Yeah, we were talking about that this morning.
It's been crazy where it was one of those baits when we were working on it. I told Donna, I said, I need this. I want this. This is for me. We'll see what it does for everybody else.
Yeah, Don from Figure Eight.
Yeah, Don. Right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Don Jane, sorry. And real stop, shallow mm-hmm. water jerk bait. Because we were talking today, and I'm working up the concepts or making some notes. I don't make notes. I'm full of it, but I wing everything, and Jay knows it.
Mental notes?
Yeah, barely. So you have to be cognizant for that. Talking about this rubber video we're working on, because what I want to do is convey as much as we can visually, because I think sometimes we're gabbing on the podcast like, well, we can do this podcast level on a video. And I was thinking about some of these shallow water scenarios for guys, say you're on the Fox in Chicago, or you're in Virginia, or you're in Pennsylvania where it's really shallow, and you're working jerk baits, or you want to work jerk baits, but all you do is snag the tailgater. Mm-hmm. I've been tearing them up on this. Rip, fall, or turn the handle, fall. Please don't treat that bait, the Steve tailgater, don't treat it like it's a spinner bait. Treat it like a jerk bait. Pull it across 12 to 3, or 12 to 9, depending on your handedness. Pull it across your body and let it fall, and then pick up the slack. It's been devastating in shallow zones, Jay.
Very cool.
Practical.
Very cool.
Yeah, you can't snag it. And then, like today, we're talking about you're throwing spinner baits right now. You're fishing rowing on the river, correct? What's going on there?
Yeah, I was rolling on the river last couple mornings, and saw some muskies. Caught a bunch of everything, all species. So it wasn't great fishing, but it was consistent in that manner, picking up fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had a nice muskie up, 40 inch class probably. And it, we can't target them right now. And I wasn't mm-hmm. Throwing half ounce bass spinner baits for smallmouth and pike primarily. And it mouth open, tried to eat it right at the boat, but missed. It's like, all right. Okay. Well, that'll wake you up.
Well, and that's the thing.
That was cool. He was on wood. Yeah. He was on shallow wood. Everything's slow warming here, Steve. Really? Didn't get as warm as they said again the last couple of days. So water's cool, and it's, weeds are just starting to emerge from what mm-hmm. I've been seeing. So it's going to be an interesting opening weekend. The fish I saw was Saturday was real beat up, looked to be still spawning. Mm-hmm. It just, it extremely lazy follow, uninterested. Coming off of a flat spawning area in a creek, basically. So,
right.
We'll see what happens. I've been hearing spotty reports, but a lot of the reports are from people fishing in the southern half, and they're miles ahead of us in terms of water temps.
Yeah,
where the lakes are at.
And Jake, you didn't have the luxury of hearing that. Where some of that stuff he's fishing is warmer. You got colder. It just is what it is. You got to make the read, got to make the assessment there, Jay. Anyway, what I was going to say is this. and just kind of go down the rabbit hole for a second. We've done some crazy episodes here for the last few weeks, and just circle back because a lot of listeners, they're getting ready for the Wisconsin opener and the Minnesota opener here in a second, right?
Right, right.
So you got Wisconsin, Minnesota, and then you blink your eye, Jay, Canada opener's right there. Right?
Bingo.
Bingo. What are we doing when the commonality, when the thing that everybody knows what to do doesn't work, right?
Okay.
What do we do when, you know, Jake and his black magic there at the Smitty Bait Company, they got the wizard spell and the wizards whatever and Dungeons and Dragons or whatever they're into, right? You know, he's a minotaur or whatever. Yeah, whatever.
No kidding, is, right?
Yeah, no joke. It never ends.
Scary.
For them. Scary. Well, that doesn't. Freak show, anyway.
Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when they're not doing that garbage, what are Muskies doing? How do we contact Muskies that are outside of that typical, that prototypical zone? Because I think what's going to happen, and this is just my guess, right?
Okay.
Bear with me. I could be completely wrong. However, pretty good record keeper. Years that kind of come together like this typically go from, you know, rainy, too much wind to smolderingly hot really fast. Right? We go kind of a dicey spring, up and down, a little bit warmer than usual, and then nuclear hot. What are we looking at? How do we contact Muskies when the game plan everyone else is doing falls apart? Right? My thoughts are this. What's everyone going to be throwing opening weekend in the north section? Small blades, small top waters, right? Maybe the informed will be throwing Titan Juniors. Maybe they'll be throwing, you know, Slammer 5-inch, Slammer Fatties, something of that nature.
Right.
What happens when the bite's not there? What do we do? Another question is, what do we do outside of the morning and the evening? Working on a thing on the app. I'll have it up this week, but I wanted to kind of go down the rabbit hole of some small bucktail trolling and as well as prepare yourself lipless crankbait trolling, Dre.
Okay.
Something that is just kind of like, meh, yucky, right? So I've made this work for a lot of years when things are not prime. So somebody asked this week, and I'll preface with, you know, water temp versus light penetration versus all these different things. At times, the allure of increased water temp will hold muskies where the light penetration should drive them deeper, but they'll kind of just hang out there because they're recuperating. If we hit big cold fronts here in a short order, or we hit early season cold fronts, the willingness to get on the first break, and there's so many places up north, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Canada, where big littoral zones, big shallow flats, big weed areas, and that first outside edge that most people drive over the top of, that's going to open up some opportunities, right? So something I convey would be this. A willingness to troll some of these small baits, even if you can only troll one or two. If we have, let's say, a 200-yard outside edge, Jay, right? What's more effective? Are we casting across? Are we casting laterally? Are we trolling, say, a rattle trap, right? Like a J.B. Rattler or a Bill Lewis or whatever it is, with, say, rubber core in front of it or a sinker in front of it on a short line, 2.5, 3.5, somewhere in that neighborhood at a controlled depth. What's going to be more effective for fish that have slumped off the edge? Right? You didn't hear Jake do it because we had a tech issue, but Jake caught one fish off of a point where, okay, there's one there, a rocky point with some reeds where if conditions fall apart here quickly or things get too hot quickly, I don't mean too hot, like safety temps, I'm going, okay, they exceed where they want to be. Where are they going to go? Right? the ability or the game plan to troll the outside edge of these things, I think, becomes imperative. If you have to put a fish in the boat, where I think a lot of guys are going, okay, let's cast, let's pitch. We're trying to schlub one up if we can.
Mm-hmm.
But the flexibility to go, all right, let's hit the outside edge. And so just the thought I would convey is this, is small presentations in a trolled manner are just as effective, because if we think about the majority of our early season baits, Jay, they're mostly straight retrieve. Right? The Smitty Wizard Tail, the Booker 500, the JB Rattler, the Rattle Trap, right? Lungeon 22 Short. All these small presentations, muskies are looking for small meals where they'll pop off on these things. It can be devastating hitting that first break, that first transition from, let's say, 6 to 12, or let's say where things start turning into deeper water. Now, how do I find those zones or a breakdown of shallow northern lakes? Minnesota, you're hamstrung by most everything's big, right? But how do you break down a lake? Something I think is transcendent of your Midwest body's water are the zones I call the nursery, right? Jay, how many lakes have we fished where we call a section the nursery?
It's true. Yeah.
Almost all of them. Almost every single lake we fish, we go, that's the nursery. Where would they spawn? Well, if I had to put dollars to donuts, hold on, Jake Smith said, are you still podcasting? Yes. Want to call back?
He's lonely.
He's probably lonely as hell.
Probably casting a spell.
He's probably freaking out in his yard in a robe. He's chanting.
Cooking chicken out there.
Well, he said, I can't remember what he had. He had something.
He's doing a shore lunch with hot dogs.
No, that's what Fred does.
Laugh, he does.
The old hot dog shore lunch. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm very tired, Jay. And the hot dog shore lunch is now the band's name.
Ooh, not bad.
Can you imagine if we just toured the North Woods and Southern Canada with our cover band Hot Dog Shore Lunch?
Yeah.
You know, they got
book a gig at Medford Tire and Auto,
right?
You know, start out there, start big, go downhill from there.
You got the Medford Auto and the
right
folks, let us know if you want to come to a Hot Dog Shore Lunch show. That's ridiculous. I love that name. I hate it. It's freaking stupid. But anyway.
What were you talking about earlier? Because I can't remember.
Well, I was just kind of talking about where muskies are going to go in this early season period where... outside edge. The same outside edge we score during cold fronts in the peak summer months, right? I'm telling you. If they're not where you want them to be, where we said the Minnesota guys, we just talked about the nursery, right?
Yeah,
every lake has the nursery. Well, the places you typically find smaller fish are the tiny little shallow zones, the little cruddy zones. Those are typically your spawning areas. Most of these inland lakes where you go, and these are small little bodies of water, there's not too many options, right? Do they provide incoming water, outflow? What is happening in these zones where they create a shallow spawnable zone, right? What's happening in that lake where you go, huh, it's shallower. Jake Smith was saying he's seeing weeds all the way up to 7 feet. You know, maybe it's a zone where it's like 4-0. Are we breaking down the lake in a reasonable manner where we go, okay, hey, this is going to be the shallow zone. This is where they should spawn. They're not going to venture too terribly far. Right?
Right.
On it.
Makes sense.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. We're looking for, in most of these zones, Jay just had a beat up one come in. I've heard guys, you know, friends up there, hey, we're seeing some beat up ones, we're seeing this, we're seeing that, here's, you know, Joe Schmo caught one on a walleye bait, whatever, and they're all ate up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Herbeck a few weeks ago said, well, they all passed spawn. Well, it doesn't seem that's the case, right? They might be slightly on the backside, but it's not like they've recouped completely. So where are the shallow zones that scream the nursery? And I think that's super important on dissecting a body of water. We go, what are the most habitual places on an inland lake, right? The ones we tend to gravitate to, Jay. And not every lake in the North Woods or not every lake has inflowing water, outflowing water. But the influx of water typically provides sediment, which shallows things up, right? Huh? Think about it over eons. And you'll find these nursery areas. Now, what I'm looking for are nursery areas from a casting capacity where boat 736 went through it by Sunday morning, but nobody's looked on that outside periphery, the outside perimeter of these zones. How do I attack these zones as effectively as possible, you know, in a mid-shell and deep methodology? Because, you know, running a rattle trap or a JB rattler at, say, 6 feet deep on the outside of an 8-foot break, well, you're 2 feet off the bottom. If you think the bottom tight because of light penetration, they can't avoid paying attention. And I've done this so long and so successfully over the years where trolling on the outside edge of spawning zones during subprime conditions is kind of like that day saver when you got to do it, right? And I think a lot of anglers will run into this thing where we all do it. We're fired up. It's a season opener. You're ready to rock and roll. And you go, man, I really want to smack them up. I really want to get on the game. And it kind of falls apart, right? For as much as you want it to be this shallow water blade bite or top water bite, it might not happen. So just keep that in mind. You know, I'm just rambling on it, and I apologize. But my thought would be lipless crankbaits, small blades like the Wizard's Spell or a Booker 500 or a Meps Giant Killer, and then downward placement of your rods, allowing you to get those depths you want to achieve across the board. Does that make sense, Jay? I'm just kind of...
It does. And yeah, judging from what we got coming, I mean, I would almost use that as your game plan versus, you know, what you think most people are going to, you know, start with. You know what I mean? Because we've got a really cool rainy forecast for the next week plus. It's supposed to rain every day and be kind of cool. So, you know, we're not going to have that super warm, you know, water temps to start the season like we were, you know, 2 months ago. We were like, hey, we're going to have early ice out. You know, this is going to be. But up here where I live in northern Wisconsin, it's been relatively stable water temps for several weeks. We haven't had those that big warming thing yet. So, yeah, well, be prepared. I mean, I like your game plan there, Steve. I think that's a great idea.
I got to make it work. You know, guiding, you have to make it work. You got to get a body to have a chance where – this year for me has been way colder temps and way rainier, right?
Mm-hmm.
Usually water's pretty tickling warm. That's why I head up and hang out with you and crash at your house and I'm an idiot, right? And pester you and then go to Canada because things are getting warm. It's moderate, right? Smitty saw some warmer stuff, but if it doesn't take much to knock things down. I'm just telling you, I've scored so many fish trolling early in the season. If it translates, it translates. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But just cruising it. I mean, I'm talking trolling motor speeds, 2.5 to 3 miles an hour. If you got a 112 or whatever in your boat or, you know, just a small tiller, you can get those to happen where you go, wow, I'm covering water. I'm covering breaks and just being intelligent about these presentations. I don't know, Jay. I'll shut up. Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll hit a little Q&A here. We've had some power weeks here. We'll get to it. Dan, yo, yo, yo. When it's bright and sunny, do I need to fish deeper? And when it's overcast, fish shallower because the muskie's eyes are very sensitive to light. I understand what you guys are saying. you know, he goes on, whatever, he says some funny stuff. But yes, that is the core of the matter. Brighter, deeper, shallower, excuse me, brighter it is, Jay, the deeper we fish.
Yeah.
The dimmer it is, the shallower we fish in general. I mean, you have those things. We're just talking about early season stuff where thermal energy can overcome light penetration in some capacity, right? Matt, I've been fishing the meat grinder and the tailgater, both on a straight retrieve. What do you reckon? Okay, done, Jay. I just said it. Don't treat the meat grinder. Excuse me. Don't treat the tailgater.
Tailgater.
Like, yeah, yeah, don't do that. Rip, stop, rip, stop. Treat it like a bulldog. Treat it like a jerkbait. That would be my take there. Particularly made for heavy cover, right? Particularly made for, you know, rocky conditions, shallow conditions, things of that nature. We kind of covered it. I didn't need another Colorado blade spinnerbait. I need something that helicoptered in a balanced way. So it's the fall off. So you have the willow blade on the back.
Yep.
This kind of match with that Colorado blade where you're going to rip it and it's going to fall in a measured rate. So rip, pull, rip, pull, rip, pull, rip, pull. That is the game there, right? So, sorry, this is funny. Mr. Melby asked if I'll do next level muskie fishing as a bedtime story for those that can't read. Jay, are you going to do that?
Not a bad idea.
Very, very, very soon here.
Yeah.
All right. Sam, I'm looking for topwater presentations for my first trip to Canada. What seems to be the best topwater for Canadian muskies?
Didn't say what time of the year he's going, though.
No, I mean, in general, for my brain is once we're post spawn, you can get away with some stuff up there. I like walk the dog in Canada. Always have, always will. Fault me if I'm wrong, but you know, Booker has made a career out of the Top Raider. Functional top waters for Canada, let's put it that way. I think the fish on Eagle really like Lake X stuff. I think Joe Booker has dominated undeniably on Lake of the Woods, right? So a top raider seems to be the soup du jour. I mean, I've seen it a million times where, you know, I might throw a top raider and somebody's throwing a fat bee behind me and they draw them up. I don't know. I mean, there's a different sound. I think there's a seasonality to it. I think the more commotion. I mean, I'm not going to come out opening weekend or Canadian opener throwing a cannonball, right?
But which is a big bait. Yeah,
which right. is a big bait. But, dude, by the middle of July, I'll throw a cannonball junior in Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
AIDS. Or the JB Rattler is putting weight in front of them or jamming my rods in the water. Mm-hmm. Right? If you've got a 9-foot rod and five foot of it's in the water on a short line, it's not running that high. Right? Where I would say if we're looking for a generality, a mid-depth bait, I've done tremendously well. 10-inch headlocks and depth raiders up north, right? That's a pretty rock solid thing. But if I'm, there's not a give me. I'd hate to say like, this is the bait, right? It's not going to work year round. So, but seasonally, rattle traps, blades, early season, we get into July and things are, we're definitely post spawn. I would say the hierarchy would be a 10-inch headlock, baby DR standard depth raider. Then we get in the fall. We talk about like Jim Stewart loves his jerk trolling. That works very well. Whereas maybe your bigger presentation, like a 12-inch headlock or a 12-inch matlock, is not that bad. So you've got to play the season out. There's not going to be like this one bait I drag around always get strikes, right? Oh, goodness. Mm-hmm. Let's do one more. It's a long day, Jay.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I hear you.
You know, you're just freaking sometimes, Jay. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you knocking, Steve.
Hi, freaking. Okay, this can. You know, what do? I hear you knocking, but you can't come in.
Well, you end with a good one. You end with a good one. A boomer.
Oh, a boomer. Let me find. What brand of Ranger boat do you prefer? I'm serious. Goodness gracious. I'm a moron, guys. Jay, it's not even Pepsi's this week. It is just life. It got me. Just life.
Uh-huh. That happens.
All right.
Yeah.
This is one more. Richard.
Here we go.
Richard Dick Stempke Memorial Account. Sorry. That's why I picked that one of the questions, right?
Dick Stempke gets mentioned on the Northwoods Hog Sauce, too, which is very well done.
As he should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Classic question. Here we go, folks.
Mm-hmm.
One rod, one reel. I just paraphrased it, just read it. I can buy one rod, one reel. What's the setup? Jay, have at it.
For a casting platform, obviously, 9-foot shield rod, heavy power, Tranks 400.
Yeah, done. I love my TWs, right? I'm actually really excited. We're about to unveil in the big rubber video we're working on right now, the big Daiwa 5, right? So I've got that thing dialed in.
Yeah.
But we've talked about it before. Tranks 400. I'm spending my hard-earned money. Tranks 400 or a Kuma Komodo. Both are great. I like the Beast. No worries. But, like, I got a one and done, right? The wife's going to shoot me in the head, Jay. Shield rod, 9-foot heavy. Tranks or Komodo. I love the TW. I love the Pro Rex. I've been throwing them great. They're wonderful reels. But just reels that have a ton of dialed in history, right? I'm just trying to shoot straight as I can. They haven't changed the Tranks much, and the Komodo, that stainless steel on stainless steel gear ratio thing they got going on a 6.3. I'd say that get a 6.3:1 if you got one set up, right? We know this if we listen to the podcast. Let me do one more here. Darren. How do we approach structure fishing as we transition into the warmer water period? When do muskies make the frickin'? This guy's already thinking ahead. We've done too many podcasts. When do muskies make the transition from the shallows to the open water and the break lines following forage, and how do we follow them? Thank you. Jay, they're alive out there. They're not just mouth breathers. These people are thinkers, and God bless you. We love you.
Absolutely.
It's happening already. So every system, here's my thought. Every lake's got its monster. That's a Joe Bookerism, right?
It is.
Jay, we've done the Northwoods things a couple times. Have we pulled the monsters out of a couple lakes that don't have monsters?
Yeah.
Yeah. Using structure as our guide.
That's true.
Right, the we'll call it Mr. Ed, the one lake, right? You know what I'm talking about? Mr. Ed was a what?
Mr. Ed
was
I don't know.
What was Mr. Ed?
He was okay.
Yeah, I gotcha. Thank you. Yeah,
well, okay.
You're burning a little hot tonight, Jay. But that lake. Structural fish over the one major finger, the one major bar in the whole lake, right?
Yeah.
Or the one with Jim and MG, the one creek channel, or, you know what I'm saying? Like all these different things where you go, whoa, this is just continual reiteration that structure matters for big fish. So every lake has its giant. Every lake has mature muskies. The size class will vary in some capacity. But a giant for one lake might be 45, and a giant for another might be, you know, 55. It doesn't matter. The adult muskies are not going to linger super shallow for very long. You'll find this thing where okay, they come in, they do their spawn, and they're out. They recuperate a little bit, but they're only recouping for small amounts of time. That's why I was saying the outside trolling thing. Ah! Where they don't come in and spawn and then stay there the entire time. They go linger on the outside edge. They go linger on the edge of the littoral zone. They move in when needed, right? Jay, mm-hmm. What does, logically, right, if there's any value in this episode, what do the shallows provide in the early season to muskies?
In the early season, they provide spawning grounds. And they provide the food.
Right, which is systemic of it being what? Warmer, correct?
Warmer, and it's drawn in the bait fish, and right. Hence they're spawning in there. So
they've got
easy food nearby.
What do the depths provide?
Cover.
Not
safety.
No, that's not where I'm going. So,
what do the depths provide early season?
Stability. Right. Spring and fall are seasons of fluctuation, right? Short days, wide variance. So, my theory, my treatise on this has been this for a long time, and it works for me. You know, your results may vary. The old adage with muskies and what everybody thinks in this sport is all muskies go shallow and spawn, and they stay there to recoup. That's great. I don't sit at the Chinese buffet until I'm hungry again. I should, but you know the old joke, you eat too much, you leave, right? That's probably racist, but that's an old joke. Sorry, remember that? There was some comedian, but you know, you can't clock in at the Chinese buffet at 11 a.m. and leave at 10 when they shut down. They'll ask you to leave, right? Ask this Anago sea pig. She'll tell you. But a big muskie, a mature muskie, is going to make moves in. It's going to make a move in shallow when the time is right to spawn. When things are perfect is when big, big, big fish spawn, right? And most people don't realize they spawn at night, Jay. That's a whole other animal. So they make the move in, they do their business, and they move to the outside edge. They move in during certain periods of the day, typically the middle of the day in the warmest part of the year, in the shallows when things are warming, not the warmest part of the year, but when we're in the spring post-spawn zone, we're about to hit for Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Canada subsequently. They'll move in, they'll do their business, eat a couple things, and they'll go off to the outside edge. They don't linger there all day long. Just like structurally, they don't linger in the shallows the entire time. Why would the rules be broken for a 90-day period, right? So one-third of the year, they never leave the shallows, but the rest of the year, they make a living by moving in, moving out, moving in, moving out. Why eat and then stay somewhere that will jack your metabolism? If that was the case, 100% of the muskies in any given body of water would be in theoretically 5% of the water. If that was the case, the catch ratio for early season muskie fishing would be insane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see where I'm going?
Yeah, I see where you're going.
The adage is get up there, throw a small bait, burn it, do your thing, get it in the shallow zone, muskie on in. Why does it take, you know, half a day to get three small ones? Or why doesn't everybody catch the biggest fish in the system every spring? Why does not every lake give up a 4-footer or bigger every post-spawn? You know, if that was the case, let's say a muskie has, I'm talking about my keister right now. Let's say we got a 100-acre lake, Jay. That's tiny, right?
Small lake, yep.
But got 100 muskies, one per.
Uh-huh.
Well, a 100-acre lake, how many, we were talking about earlier, it's all the same conversation. a lake of that size, when we fish some of them, they're going to have one nursery, right? I'm thinking of Mr. Ed. You know the nursery on Mr. Ed, the lake we fish?
Yep.
It's obvious. Here's a big bowl basin. It's got a weedy point. It's got a back bay. And it's got the nursery. There's no doubt. Every muskie should be there for an extended period of time. They should all be caught. They should all see the pressure of season opener. And the rest of the summer should be impossible to catch them because they've seen a bait, they've seen a presentation, and they're freaked out. If we believe in conditioning. That's not the case. People don't come up gangbusters in the early year. Where, let's say in that 100-acre lake, we got 100 muskies. Only 10% are lingering at any given time. You know, if a 50-inch muskie moved in and it ate the calories it needed, why would it change its entire developmental strategy by staying somewhere to metabolize faster? And that's been the adage, right? I'm going to eat and then I'm going to stay in the shallows to metabolize faster, recoup faster. It plays to some extent, right? But why not eat and move somewhere that's just moderately different, right? If the metabolism rate is based on ambient water temperature, and let's say I'm talking on my keister here again, it's 65 in the ultimate shallows and it's 60 on the first break, what's more comfortable? That's where my head goes, right? Are they going to break all the rules for 60 days, 90 days, or are they going to adhere to what works best for them in general, which is move in, eat, recoup. Move in, eat, recoup. Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a truncated experience during the spawn and post-spawn. But it is a matter of we just eat and we stay shallow. We eat and we stay shallow. We eat and we stay shallow. That's where my head's at. Where you go, no, dude. I personally believe they eat and they move at the outside break where it's, eh. And I'm not talking 30s. I'm talking big ones. They come in, they spawn. They do a little bit of eating, they move out. They do a little bit of eating, move out. Little bit, move out. Little bit, move out. Until they're back to full strength. That's why trolling that outside edge, why approaching that in a different methodology, because, like I said, in theoretically, opening weekend, every muskie should be caught. If they adhere to like kind of the dogma of what the sport is. They're all there. If they're all there, why don't we catch them all? Why is muskie season not 4 weeks long? 3 weeks long? You know, on these big Minnesota lakes, you should be able to throw every reed and catch one every 10 casts, if that was the truth. You know, for the amount of fish there are, and if you look at it, like the old adage about, you know, 10% of the fish are in 90% of the lake or whatever. Well, if we truncate a lake down to completely the shallowest edge there is, where all the muskies are on the shallowest edge there are during that period, wouldn't it make sense that angler contact was through the roof in the early season?
Right.
It's not. You know, it's not. A lot of people struggle. People fish tournaments earlier and catch suspendos. Why are they suspendoed? They're all supposed to be shallow the whole time. Huh? You see what I'm saying? Where I go, the old adage is, get shallow, throw shallow, stay shallow. Well, my definition. Well,
yeah, the old adage is, you can't catch what isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, they're not.
Well, but
they move in, they move out. So,
and that's what I'm saying. Yeah, if they were there, it would be huge. Anyway, Jay, I'm a moron, and that's it.
And that's a wrap.
I'm very tired, folks. Just print it on a shirt. Anyway, Jayburn, say goodnight.
Thanks, guys. Good night.
Later.
From the makers of Agent Orange, Red Dye Number 5, and the Bird Flu comes Northwoods Muskie Hawk Sauce.
North
Northwoods Musky Hog Sauce. It's got it all. The flavor, the power, and the chemicals that my body needs.
Hooker up your suck hole and let the hog sauce in.
Can't catch a musky?
Hog sauce.
Can't get a bite?
Hog sauce.
Feeling down in the dumps?
Hog sauce.
Addicted to gambling?
Hog sauce.
They might break my knees, but they can't break my spirit when I'm downing musky hog sauce. Don't believe me? Just listen to these testimonials.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Bob. I've read the ingredients that are in this can. Literally everything in this can is poison. Do not consume.
Hey, folks. This is Joe Booker, Hall of Fame angler. Do not drink this. It is bad. It's poison.
Hey, everybody. It's Doc Boy Randy here. I'm not always sad. Sometimes what really makes me happy is when I drink Northwoods Musky Hog Sauce. Yeah, I really like to wash it down with a 20-bag pound of clear ice. Lydia, please come back.
Northwoods Musky Hog Sauce smells like victory,
but it tastes like pain.
Get your collector's can of Northwoods Musky Hog Sauce July 20th at the Musky Shop Bash,
Minocqua, Wisconsin.